Good morning, brothers and sisters. And Happy New Year. It's so wonderful to see you again. And thank you so much for your encouragement and supportive advice of me and my wife, Margaret, over the previous years. And I thank you for your prayers. And it's so wonderful to meet so many familiar faces. It's a great privilege for me to share with you today, and I just want to thank Pastor Winston and the elder for the invitation for me to cover the pulpit today. Today we're going to open our Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you are ready for a new year? We are into a new year, right? You realize that, right? Are you ready for a new year? Yeah? Come on, amen. Okay, good, yeah. So let me ask you this. How many of you are ready not only for a new year, but have a great year every day? Yeah? Amen, yeah. Now, author, writer, and pastor, John Maxwell once said in his message, which I think he's right on, the secret of making a new year a great year every day is to serve someone every day, adding value to people every day, and live the intentional life of doing for others sometimes what they cannot do for themselves. I think he's right on. If you really put people first and add value to their lives and serve them, it becomes incredibly, amazingly, you know, what you and I are going to become and achieve. Okay. Now, Benjamin Franklin, the American scientist, inventor, politician, who drafted the Declaration of Independence of the American Constitution, said this: no one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of someone else. And Albert Schweitzer, a theologian, a philosopher, and also a mission doctor in Africa, Nobel Peace Prize winner, who said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I do know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. You know, I've met many successful but unhappy people, but I never met anybody who's happy because he or she is serving and find a way to value people. Now, it's recorded in the Gospel of John 13 that Jesus was washing disciples' feet, remember? Serving them. And then Jesus said, follow me and follow my example. So if Jesus were here today and we would say to him, what's important in life? I think what he would say is valuing people and serving people. So if you want to have a great year, a great year every day, value people and serve people. Because no matter what God has called you to do, okay, he asked for one thing, be faithful. He asked for faithfulness. So in our passage today, Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy, his beloved disciple and spiritual son, he reminds him what he needs to know to be faithful. Now, Timothy was now a gospel worker and a church pastor. Paul encouraged him to stay faithful to the gospel even in light of the last days that are imminent and are full of persecution and hardship. Therefore, as we step into a new year, as we launch a new year of ministries, I would like to encourage, okay, one another with Apostle Paul's word. As we reflect upon this passage, let's remember three specific focuses that will encourage us to stay faithful. And focus number one is this: rely on God's grace. Okay? Verse 1 reads, you then, my son, be strong. In our translation is, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul reminds Timothy that it's the same grace as in chapter 1, verse 9, which Timothy was saved. Now, he tells him that the same grace will give you strength to serve. Now, notice Paul did not say, be strong in the justice of God. God is just. Paul did not say, be strong in the law of God, although God is the lawgiver. But Paul said, be strong in what? In the grace of Christ Jesus. Now, justice is what getting what you deserve, right? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. But grace is getting what you do not deserve. So remember the famous acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense? Grace, right? So God is a gracious God. If you have failures in your life, we all do. If you have sin in your past, troubling you, come to Christ. Let him forgive you of all your sins. And watch over your life, because there is abundant grace to go around for every sinful thing does. So is everybody thankful for the grace in your life? Amen? What will it look like when God strengthens us in the grace of Christ Jesus? What will happen? We will not become suddenly powerful in a secular terms, or we will not become impressive to people all of a sudden, or to escape our troubles. But it may be a scripture. It may be a promise from the Bible that come into your mind. And we see things absolutely with clarity and with brand new enthusiasm. That's grace. It may come in forms of God will bring a helper, someone to help you, to help us. It could be our Lord to change our circumstances. Some difficulties may disappear. Some new progress may arrive. Or the Holy Spirit give us new courage, new hope, new joy, a new song. You know, the one who gives enough grace for salvation will give us enough grace for service. He got the ability to strengthen us according to the challenge we're facing. So therefore, we need the wisdom to throw ourselves unto God, to say to him, this is beyond me, but it is not beyond you. We should not rely on our little human wisdom or something to boast in our experience. We should not blindly either to copy whatever works in a secular world. If we do not sway and do God's things in God's way, then God will surely bless the work of our hands. That's focus number one. Rely on God's grace. Focus number two, to be faithful, is to relay God's words. Relay God's words. So Paul encourages Timothy to rely on God's grace, and then he also urges Timothy to relay God's precious word, as he said in verse 2. Let's read this together, okay? Verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, can you count how many generations of Christians that are describing this verse? How many? I count four. Yeah, there are four people in this relay, okay, of verse 2. Paul, Timothy, reliable men, meaning faithful men, and others, other believers down the track in the next generation. So Timothy's task was to relay God's precious words and truth one generation after another. He is to look for faithful and competent disciple. Why faithful and competent? Both. If people don't have faithfulness, everything will went astray. If only faithfulness, but not competent, everything end up in a mess. So we got to find people raise up disciples who are faithful and competent. Okay? That is the principle of discipleship, and that is the vision of multiplication. There are only a limited amount of students a teacher can train. But if each believer, okay, in turn disciples and other two believers and so forth, then there will be growth, amazing growth. So a question for you, brothers and sisters, is after you become a Christian, have you helped to disciple another Christian? Have you helped to help other believers to grow spiritually? Now, why is it important for Timothy to relay God's precious word? In his letter, Apostle Paul alerted Timothy many times that there will be false teachings in the last days. For example, Paul in this chapter, chapter 2, verses 15 to 16, he said, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who need to correctly handle the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly." Now, Timothy has to relay God's precious word and truth in order to preserve God's truth. The same is true for us today. We live in a world, have you noticed, filled with godless chatter. All the things that are in social media, okay? False teachings, secular influences, and misinformation about biblical values. So, the question for us is, does what we do in the church, does what we do in our service result in relaying God's precious truth and word? Are you looking for people to take on what you have been given to yourself by God in the grace of Christ? Consider that. Now, focus number three, to stay faithful in this passage, is to engage in God's ministries. Apostle Paul continued in verses 3 to 6 to tell Timothy how he should serve and how he should engage himself in serving in different ministries. So Paul used three analogies to describe the kind of Christian workman, the kind of Christian life Timothy should be like. Okay? So Paul is going to talk about endure hardship like a soldier, like an athlete, like a farmer. So in the same way, he exhorts us to live our Christian life and to serve like this three particular vocation or occupation. Now, first of all, Apostle Paul said that a Christian workman is like a what? Good soldier, verses 3 and 4. Join me reading this. Two verses, okay? "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." Now, Paul tells us two things about a soldier life that's very similar to the Christian life in these analogies. A good soldier does not get involved in civilian affairs. And second, a good soldier wants to please his commanding officer. Now, do you know that someone serving in the military life, they live a separate life from the rest of the world? Do you realize that? In the sense of what? In the sense of having a separate set of standards, a distinct code of honor, and a unique set of values. Now, Paul said a good soldier doesn't concern himself with civilian life. Okay? Of course, a soldier still has personal and daily duties to take care of. And those soldiers who are married and have to manage their families. But however, when a military officer is serving active duties, he or she should not let other things occupy his or her role. He should not be distracted by things unrelated to his duty. Jesus said, "We are in the world, right? But we're not of the world." Remember that? As Christians, we are to live by a different standard of a distinct of code of honor. We live by different sets of values, and we engage also in spiritual battles, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight, which are not of the weapons of the world." So as Christians, we need to carry this military mindset spiritually in all our services, and not to get ourselves entangled with the secular world's values. So in John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, Apostle John warned us as Christians, there are these things that are constantly working, three things, constantly working against us, against you. First is the world. Second is your flesh. Third is the devil. The world is constantly trying to squeeze you into its mold, to influence you and me to conform to its adulterous images, to its philosophy, to its thinking, to its cultural mindset, to its social worldviews. So the world is waging war against us, bombarding our mind and our emotions every day. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 said, "So does our flesh." Okay. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 warns us, "Beware of the enemy, the devil, because the devil is constantly trying to lead us astray, to tempt us, to confuse us, to mislead us." Okay. So Paul's saying that as Christians, it's the Bible, it's the truth from the Word of God that shapes our worldviews. We live by different standards. We live by different code of honor unto God. So don't get entangled in the civilian sphere, meaning the worldly things. Okay? We live by different code of honor. We serve a commanding officer who is Christ, our Savior. So that's our responsibility as Christians. Fight the good fight of the faith. Now, how do you please your commanding officer? Okay? We do that with loyalty. We do that with respect, with honor, with duty, with courage. And most importantly, we please our commanding officer, our Christ the Lord, submission to God. Submission. Now, do you know when a soldier takes on a military oath, you know, like a citizen, when he becomes a citizen, he or she has to swear and sworn by an oath, right? So it's a soldier. After that, that action, he is no longer your own, okay? So when you take that military off of the army, you are no longer of your own, okay? You belong to the country. You listen to the top commander, right? And you no longer have your own choice about things. You will be told what to wear. You'll be told what to eat, when to get up, everything. So it's in the same way, spiritually speaking, when we are bought by the blood of Christ, you are not of your own anymore. You belong to Christ, right? Your authority is God's word in your life, okay? Your life belongs to Christ, okay? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you need to live your life to please Him. Just like a good soldier to submit to his commanding officer, right? You cannot please the Lord if you intend on pleasing people. If you are a good pleaser, a good people pleaser, then you will not be a God pleaser. Okay? If you are more concerned about what other people think than about what God thinks, then you're no longer able to please God the Father. So we are to please God rather than ourselves even in ministries. So if we are dedicated to our calling, God will bring forth favorable outcomes, good outcomes in His time. Now the second analogy that Paul used to compare our Christian life and our serving is to be an athlete. Okay? That's what he said in verse 5. Join me as we read verse 5, okay? Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Now, many of us like to watch Olympic Games, right? That are held once every 4 years. And an athlete, we know, will be disqualified if he or she violates the rules of the contest, right? We remember an incident in the year 2000 Summer Olympic. There was an American track and field athlete by the name of Marion Jones, okay? And she won 5 medals. But she was stripped of her medal the following month. In her prime time, being the first female sport millionaire, okay, she received $70,000 to $80,000 per race, plus another bonus of at least $1 million, and then on top, a lot of endorsement deals, okay? But she was stripped of her medals because of what? Illegal doping. Okay? As a result, she lost everything. In 2006, she lost her $2.5 million house. And 7 years after she won her five medals, she was completely broke. Okay? All because she did not compete according to the rules. Now, some of you like rules. Some of you don't like rules, right? Maybe just a personality thing. I don't like rules, you know. But the reality is, all of us like rules when they serve us well, right? All of us hate rules when we think or perceive they restrict us, right? And for example, I guarantee, if you get on a plane, you like your pilots to fly the plane according to the rules, okay? If you got the front row tickets to see a Raptors game, okay? and when you get there, someone is sitting in their seat, I think you wish well strongly that someone would come to tell the guy the rules. You're sitting on my seat, okay? But we like rules when they serve us. We don't like rules when we think that they restrict us. So therefore, sometimes certain people have problems with rules in the Bible, thinking they restrict us. But the matter of truth is that the rules of God imposes on us are given to us for your benefits and for your protection. Okay? Same things in Christian service. Sometimes we put emphasis on the result, okay, than the process, but not to God. We have to follow God's lead, God's heart, God's rules, and then He will bless us. So here is how we can always appreciate the rules of God and know that they are good. They give in form of commandments. Because if you know the rule giver is good, then you can always trust the rules are good for you, right? Then in verse 5, Apostle Paul said this, to receive the victor's crown. What does that mean? That means, of course, the goal of every athlete is to what? Cross the finish line. It doesn't matter how much or how you started in your Christian walk, how you started in your Christian service, early in life or late in life. Some got off well, some got off with rocky start. It doesn't matter how well you start, or it doesn't matter how well you, but it does matter one thing. What is it? You're right. It matters how you finish. Crossing the finish line, okay? That we would run with run the race with perseverance, no matter how hard we want to achieve that goal, to finish the game and to cross the finish line, to receive the victor's crown, receiving the ultimate reward when we see our Lord Jesus, okay? So Apostle Paul exhorts Timothy that we live our Christian life and we to serve like a good soldier, like a disciplined athlete. Then finally, the third analogy is to be like a farmer. So in verse 6, what does he say about a farmer? Let's read this together. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Now, I like Paul described this farmer. He said a hardworking farmer. A hardworking farmer. Now, I'm not a farmer. Any farmers here among us? No. But we all agree this. A farmer's work hard, right? All farmers work hard. They are hard-working, good, honest people. They get up early in the morning or even before sunrise. They work all day long, okay? A farmer, he routinely does all the manual work of watering, fertilizing, weeding. He endures the summer heat. He endures the winter storm, right? The snow. He worries about storms, pests, and drought. Paul uses sowing and growing of crops to illustrate the work of sharing the gospel and also maturing people spiritually in their spiritual lives. So depending on what ministry it is, we'll not always get immediate results, right? Doesn't matter if we plan a worship service, we have a meeting, a specific event, we want to do a barbecue. It may take months of planning, but growing the spiritual maturity of a person would take years. Take years. So Paul stated that a farmer works hard, okay, to look after his field. He should naturally look forward to a bountiful, to a good harvest. That's the right expectation. That's the goal and the vision to work for. So the type of harvest Apostle Paul has in mind was what? An eternal reward. At harvest time, a farmer will celebrate the result of his diligence. So if we are diligent in our ministry, in our serving, in serving God, we'll receive an eternal reward from the Lord. Now, we all know in farming, on the other hand, there are seasons. There are seasons of plowing, right? Planting, and reaping. Then during the cultivation of the ground period, then all these seasons, all this process will be repeated again and again. So an analogy here speaks of the different phases of our Christian life and service. Sometimes it's just like that, you know, the Lord is doing a plowing work in your life, in your heart, in your mind, okay? That you don't even know is there. So the Lord dug up rocks in the soil of your heart, okay? That's how sometimes God will work in us, plowing our hearts, exposing some stuff that need to be removed, that need to be get rid of. So sometimes you are in a plowing season. Other time is a planting season. Just like today, God is planting some seeds from His Word in your hearts to grow you, to remind you, to encourage you. Then there is the fruitful season. In the process of all this season, there will be rainy days, snowy days, windy days, stormy days, you know, that make you sad. But the harvest comes when we don't give up. The harvest doesn't come to overnight. We know that. No farmer can hasten, okay, to speed up the fruitfulness of his crop. Galatians 6, verses 8 to 9 reminds us that you just have to be patient, to persevere, to do your part, and wait. And when the proper time comes, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9. So live your lives and your service like a good soldier, pleasing the commanding officers, like an athlete. Live according to God's word, God's rule, to finish well, and also like a hard-working farmer, in season and out of season, reap the harvest, bring in the harvest, if you don't give up. So the question is to you today, what season of life, what season in your service are you in right now? Okay. Now, in keeping with this, is the truth that the Lord rewards you for your faithfulness. He does. In the parable of the talent, Jesus hinted at the tremendous joy. He said, well done, good and faithful servant, right? Tremendous joy that awaits faithful servants. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Okay? And even in the present time, okay, before we meet the Lord in the air, the Lord promises to share many blessings with you and me as we are faithful to Him and His work. So our faithfulness is all the more significant, according to Apostle Paul, in light of what? The end of all things is near. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. In the days as we watch news, hear about all these rumors of wars and terrible things happening around us, in the days we now live in, we are unsure what will happen next across the globe or even across our province here. Time of Jesus' second return is much closer and imminent. Being faithful to God will give you great peace, will give you great assurance to endure, because when Christ, in his second return, you will receive your eternal reward when you meet him in the air. Okay? So this is surely a time, even now, in this year, to fully dedicate to the work of the Lord, because you know that, according to Apostle Paul, your labor, in the Lord is not in vain. Okay? Your faithfulness to all that God has entrusted you matters deeply to Him. Remember that. And it will carry into eternity. It's very significant for yourself and for those you serve, you help, or you minister to. So, dear brothers and sisters, in closing, I encourage you this. Fight the good fight. To finish the race, to keep the faith, okay? No matter how difficult the circumstances are, remain faithful to God, okay? Do not give in to weariness, discouragement, despair, or criticism. Do not give in to the temptation of temporary pleasures, of sins. Do not allow sufferings or persecution or financial troubles or other difficulties to draw you away from the Lord. Don't. Remain faithful to Him at all costs. Be steadfast. Be loyal. Be trustworthy. Be dependable unto God. The Lord will honor your faithfulness by helping you in this life and by rewarding you in the life to come. Man will fail you, but God will not fail us. Amen? So be faithful now and to the very end. Be faithful in your relationship to the Lord. Be faithful in His service, in your service for Him. Remember, He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. So let's be faithful to our calling, to the things that He entrusted you, to the people He wants you to serve and minister and to love. You will enjoy the promises and the blessings of God. Amen? Amen. So let's now bow for a word of prayer. I'd like you to consider, before we pray, consider your life. Consider our lives. Ask yourself, am I faithful to God? We're not talking about giftedness. We're not talking about talent. We're not talking about how great you become. We are asking ourselves, am I faithful to God? Am I faithful to my in my personal life, in my spiritual life, in my career pursuit? Am I faithful to my family? Am I faithful to my spouse? Am I faithful in ministry? Am I faithful with my money? Am I faithful in my resources? Am I faithful in my stewardship? God calls you to be faithful because his son Jesus is faithful. You can be faithful today because God is faithful. You can trust God with your finance. You can trust God with your family. You can trust God with your ministry. You can trust God with your life. Do what he wants you to do and not worry about anything else because he is faithful. Even if you are not faithful sometimes, you fail. He remains faithful. So is there a better way to live your life than being faithful to God? There's only one way. Be faithful. So, yeah, it's difficult. There's pain. There's suffering. There's rejection. There's sacrifice. But brothers and sisters, your friends, your eyes must look beyond the here and now. Your eye must look unto the joy that's set before you. And then when you arrive at that day, like Apostle Paul had, you will look back and say, it is all worth it. It's all worth it. So in light of such amazing a faithfulness of God, why won't you give your life to Jesus? Why won't you dedicate your life to him at the beginning of this new year? Will you be faithful today, every day? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Please use your word to continue to speak to us. Pray that you will find us faithful, like a good soldier. We just want to please you, our commanding officer. We will not entangle with civilian affairs. They will live according to the kingdom code, to the standard, to live to honor you as our Lord. Lord, we pray that we will be like an athlete, that we would run according to your rules, not feeling burdensome, but trusting they are good to us as our good Heavenly Father, so that our life may be protected and be blessed and become a blessing to others. Oh Lord, help us to run the race with perseverance and to finish well. And like a good farmer, Lord, may we work hard, carefully, joyfully to guard what you entrusted to us. May we wait patiently, serving you, waiting on you, and not giving up, so that we may reap a harvest of righteousness to glorify you. Oh Lord, thank you so much for this morning, for this time of reflection, for this time of communion with you, the Holy Spirit. Continue to speak to us, Lord, and strengthen us, Lord. We thank you together, for in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.